Podcast episode 82. Today we are back in Dublin with an interview in English at the famous Straight Blast Gym, where Conor McGregor became the best MMA version of himself. And here we meet another very talented MMA fighter who won the IMOF World Championship in 2019 and now will be fighting at the Cage Fight Series on Saturday in Graz, Austria. The event will also be streamed at UFC Fight Pass. Welcome to the Unschlagbar Ehrlich Podcast, Jer Harris.
How's it going?
Is Jer short for Gerard, like your father's
Gerard,
name?
Yeah, it's my dad's name and my granddad's name. So my granddad was Gerard, but he was called Jerry. My dad's Jer, I was Gerard. So little Jer Junior.
Oh wow! Yeah. So it's like the third generation of
third generation
Gerard.
Now. Yeah.
The name has a meaning.
No, just I think they just liked that name, or they couldn't think of something else.
Okay. But all this, so many names in the world, and they all the same.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, tradition.
So you're the oldest in your family.
Yeah, the oldest. Yeah, my little sister's 18. My little sister's 19. Little brother's 12.
And you are 23.
23. Yeah.
Yeah. Is your sister also fighting?
No. She just does her own thing. Just enjoys life.
Okay, we will talk about your little brother later, because I saw him downstairs. You had a sparring session.
Yeah.
He was watching you a little bit.
Yeah, he likes to zoom in. He's he only wants to watch his big brother.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the guy to beat, so.
Yeah.
If there's anybody who wants to beat me, so he's always watching.
He's really good. I saw him train a little bit.
Yeah, he's smooth. He moves around rapid.
You told me, like, he was starting with mixed martial arts at the age of four?
Four years of age, and then he started boxing at 7 years of age as well, so he competes regularly in boxing and regularly in jiu-jitsu, and then the more MMA tournaments are starting to come up for him now, and it's just a little bit of struggle with weight. I was the same when I was younger. Like, when I started, I was like 11, but I was like 32 kilos, and I was fighting at like 50 kilo.
This
like
is crazy.
All my grappling competitions, because there was nobody my weight around at the time. So he started having a few of the same problems. It's a struggle for him to get grappling competitions, because he's like an
the
orange
best.
Belt. Sorry,
it's okay.
It's a struggle for him to get grappling like competitions in, because he's an orange belt, but he's only like, he's an orange belt and he's 13. But he's only like 20. He's only like 32 kilo himself now at the moment, or 33. So it's a struggle for the belt and the weight to match up. So he doesn't really get matched too often in grappling anymore. But he competes fairly regular in boxing, so that's why he's so smooth.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Did you motivate him to get into mixed
martial
arts?
Do you know what? In our family, like even for me, my dad never boxed or anything. My dad done the Wimp the Warrior program last year and had a fight for like his first ever fight.
What, your dad?
Yeah, my dad did, yeah.
Crazy, because I saw your dad on Instagram. You trained him in the SPG gym?
Yeah, we trained him. Like, I trained him up here, and but like he's held pads for me since I'm probably, I'd say, about 14, 15.
Yeah.
Like, he done a white collar boxing and he learned how to hold the pads a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he started holding them for me, like, as I was training for fights and stuff, to get extra training in the house and stuff. So it was good for him, good for me to try and show him what I can do then as well, know what I mean? So it was nice. But like I was saying, in my family, like even for me, we never forced into anything. We were just like, just always told to stick with something, because like where I'm from in Dublin is like, it's called like Ballymun, but it's not there. It's one of the roughest places around, probably.
Really?
Yeah, like it'd be fairly rough. Om Roddy's from the same place. I'm sure you've heard all the stories he's told, and just what it's like coming up where we're from. So if you're not playing football or boxing or walking, you're on the street selling drugs. So it's best to be doing something. So in our family, it's, you were just always told to do something, know what I mean, instead of hanging around the streets and stuff. And fortunately enough, I fell into something I loved and just never wanted to leave. And then like same for my little brother, like we both played football as well as like as I was growing up, like soccer.
Yeah.
but just eventually, even like for me, once I started doing MMA competitively, there was nothing else I wanted to do, and my little brother was the exact same.
Yeah.
Now he gave up the football a little bit quicker than I did, but he was also training in MMA like from younger than I was, so yeah.
That's crazy. When you tell me like you grew up in such a rough neighborhood, what did you experience?
Just like, it's more not when you're a kid, you don't really notice it too much because you don't know any different. Yeah. That's where you're born. This is where all your best friends are from. It's, you're out on the road, you're playing football now. Like probably anywhere in the world in your neighborhoods, there's always little fights in the road, but Ballymun's one of them places where it's every day, like there's little fights out on the street to see who is the king of the road, like, you know. So it's, you're either a really good footballer or a really good boxer. So if you're a really good footballer, people won't fight you too much, yeah, because they like good footballers.
Yeah.
But if you're a really good fighter, everybody wants to fight you because everybody wants to be the best fighter.
Who did you want to fight?
Oh, just everybody.
Everyone.
I was more like a Jack Russell. It's like
Jack?
Like a Jack Russell. Do you ever see small dogs or like a pit bull? I was smaller, but I had loads of boy. Know what I mean? I'd be always barking at me. I'd never let anybody bully me or that. And because I was smaller, I was always fighting because people were trying to pick on a smaller kid, but not me because I had hands.
So you got into fighting with street fights?
Yeah, a little bit, like, but it wasn't like, that's not what got me into fighting. My dad said it to me, like, I was playing football and I was doing gymnastics as well.
Yeah.
And then my auntie at the time, she had a boyfriend and he was a boxing coach, so I started in his gym when I was about 8 and I stayed around for about a year, and then I left and I was just playing football and doing my gymnastics. And then when I was 11, I started doing the MMA, and then when I started doing the MMA, I just really loved it.
Yeah.
And then I started boxing again as well, and started just boxing and doing MMA, and then after a year or two I left football then and just kept up the boxing and the MMA, and then after a little while I gave up the boxing as well because MMA was the only thing I wanted to do.
I think every time you get into combat sports, it's no way out.
Yeah, it's just one of them thing. It's addicting. It's like,
yeah, totally.
It's the adrenaline, and
it's, even if you get here and you smell the place, it's like, wow, I'm so glad to be here.
Like, do you know what I love about gyms? And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. I went off to Bulgaria for 6 weeks with one of my good friend Nicky. Like, my good friend Nicky, he's from Bulgaria and he's like managed by Bulgaria top team. And they do this like 4-week camp every year in Bulgaria in Sofia. And it was like, some of the lads could speak English, but a lot more people could only speak French or Bulgarian. And it was like, especially for someone like me, I don't stop talking all day. So it was like, even though I couldn't have good conversations or long conversations with people, it didn't matter because it's like, we all understood what we were there to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, all gyms have just a great atmosphere about it. If you're there to put work in, everybody wants you there, like, and it doesn't matter about language, religion, nothing. It's, once you're like training together, none of that matters. It's, that's why I think it's such a good sport to be a part of as well. And like, you're sharing blood, sweat and tears with these people.
Yeah.
So even if you can't communicate with them properly, do you know what you're about? Like,
you always get this feeling in every gym.
Yeah, and it's like, so that's crazy. What I'm saying. It's universal. It's like,
that's
every gym in the world, I'm pretty sure, because if you look at any other fighters' interviews, everybody says the same things. It's, when you go into a gym, it's a family atmosphere.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? And like, if, like, especially for me, like, we travel, like, I love to travel to a couple of gyms and train, and like, I trained over in the gym in Liverpool, and even the first time I walked into the gym, everybody just made me feel at home.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's, and I've had that experience in a couple of gyms, and it's just, you just can't beat it. Like,
what do you love about the SPG? Because we are now here in the SPG, so I got a feeling from this place. But
like, yes, like, this has been me home since I'm 11. Like, so this gym was actually called Primal MMA. It was Om Ruddy. Like, this is Om Ruddy's gym here now, obviously, as well, but this was called Primal before that. So even before this was SPG, I was here. So it's not so much the name, I think, that makes the gym. It's the community. It's like all my friends are here. Like, I consider the lads I train with family. So people I've been training with since I'm 11 are in this gym. And especially, like, I've said this in interviews a couple of times about Owen. Owen is like, he's more than just a coach. He's like a father figure. He's like your best friend. He's like your brother all in one. And it's just how he makes you feel and how he treats you as well. He treats you as an equal. And I don't think you can get a better role model than that, and then a better friend than that either. And it's just, and I think he makes everybody in the gym feel like that. So it brings us all together. Mm. I think that's what I love about SBG. And then he obviously coached over in the HQ. So everybody Owen's coached, even through the HQ, anybody who comes back to Owen always has great things to say about him and still come over to train with him. Yeah. So it's just one big family. It's like a big tribe, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a really good fighter too.
Unbelievable.
Still.
Yeah, still. Like, he'd still get on that mat and put half the lads under the thumb, like, easily.
Yeah, and he was training Conor McGregor too.
Yeah, he's Conor McGregor's striking coach, yeah.
Yeah. I saw a picture of you and Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
How did this happen?
It was actually my birthday, and I went over to
What a birthday. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And me and my friend Luke went over to the Black Forge for a bit of food on my birthday, and then he ended up being there. And then his photographer, Dave Fogarty, trains in this gym. And
so you know him, and
David spoke to him about me a couple of times. And I remember I was there speaking to his boxing coach, who he trains over in Crumlin with, Phil Sutcliffe. And Phil called him over, and he says, because I was speaking to Phil, and when I was speaking to him, he really liked what I had to say, just in terms of like strategies and talking about boxing and fighters and stuff. And he called Conor over, and he was like, you should meet this young fleet, he's a world champ, because I was telling him about I won the IMAF gold medal.
Yeah.
And then he was, Conor had come over, and he was like, I already know who he is. So for me, that was a big boost, and like a little bit of a ego boost. But it was really nice. He came over and said hello. He bought us a drink, and we had he sat with me for like a half an hour, just talking about fights. Wow. And yeah, it was brilliant. Great experience.
What did you remember from talking about the fights? What fights did you talk?
So I was telling him about I had lost in Bahrain against a good Russian guy, because I was talking to him a little bit about the Khabib fight and stuff that. And then I was telling him about I had fought a kid from Dagestan, and he was doing some similar things to me.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about that, and then I was just talking about some of his other fights, like the Aldo and stuff, and just a few, we were talking about so much it's hard to pinpoint, but I remember that comment, that little piece, specifically,
because you experienced,
because it was a similar experience, and he had a good few little tips to give me as well, and it was nice.
And right now, you had a sparring session downstairs.
Yeah.
I was watching with Andreas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got a black eye a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And you know what? I could probably count on my fingers how many black eyes I've had in my whole life. I never get them. I never get black eyes. And in the last 2 weeks, I've had two black eyes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's good I'm not here with the camera.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And you were training with a Russian guy, or what?
Where is he from? Georgie's from Romania, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. But he can speak Russian.
Ah, yeah. That's why, because I was asking Andreas, hey, what language are they speaking to you? I don't know, maybe Russian.
Yeah.
So I thought,
that was my first couple of rounds with Georgie, and they were great rounds. He's from Paddy Houlihan's gym, just across the way over in Talla. It's a good gym. Paddy's a really good friend of mine as well. He's a great coach. So Georgie's, he was only fought the weekend. George won on the weekend on Cage Legacy.
Yeah.
So, there's not that many bantams and flyers in Dublin, not really in Ireland overall, to be honest. So it's hard enough to get round. So we just contacted them for a fight simulator to get ready for the 26th or the 29th.
How many sparring partners do you get when you say they're not enough? Like 5 or 6 in Ireland?
You'd have maybe Ryan Curtis was training with us, but he's just moved up north recently. And does training up there with Gary Rooney comes over. I've started to do a little bit of training with Andy Ryan as well, and he has a couple of smaller guys, Jamie Abbott, Patrick Symes, Neil Seary was doing rounds with me, another guy, Constantine, really good wrestler, he's at the being doing rounds with me, like just more MMA grappling rounds, but just good to get more high level bodies. Like, there's a good few lads in this gym, like Max Lally, Alex Fagan, and Andreas is injured at the moment, so he hasn't really been up. Ado, like there's so many lads I could name, but all them lads are probably, I give up 15 kilos in this gym to everybody, so it's nice to get some, like, more for fight simulators. It's good to have rounds around your own weight to like get the feel of what it's going to be like. And even as well, we've had Aaron Clark coming over as well, really good high level striker, so getting good rounds with him on a Wednesday, so Wednesday's nights are like a game of chess, so
yeah
getting some really good rounds in lately.
Hey, in the end of October you're fighting in Graz in Austria.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Cage fight series.
Yeah, too right. I'm looking, going to go on and put on a show. I'm looking to go out here and butcher this kid, whoever I'm fighting. I know there's had to be a little bit of an opponent change, unfortunately, like, but yeah, it doesn't matter who I'm fighting, it's only a face to me and a face and a name. I'm gonna go out there and do what I do best, and that's put people away.
And it's your first time in Austria, right?
First time in Austria, so I'm looking forward to seeing the country and like experiencing the culture and stuff. Like, I love to do a little bit of traveling, so I'm looking forward to it.
Do you maybe stay some days longer in Austria to watch the city?
I think we may be getting there on a Thursday, and then so we'll be probably doing the weigh-in on the Friday, so probably won't see much on the Thursday or the Friday. Maybe a little bit after the weigh cut, go get some nice food and stuff, maybe try some Austrian food.
Definitely.
And then probably go home on the Monday or Tuesday and see if I can see a little bit of the city, maybe. We'll see what happens and see what flights they book. But yeah, hopefully I get a little bit of time in Austria. Hopefully if I put this kid away in one round, I'll get to go out and see a good bit of it.
Did Andreas tell you anything about Austria?
He was just saying it was a lovely city and stuff. Not too much. I haven't got to see him after his fight, really, because he's been injured. He's got up for some cardio sessions, but he can't do too much.
Hey, you have a nickname, fighting nickname.
Oh, yeah. What's GTA it? Selector.
Yeah, come on. What is this?
So after my last fight, I had an interview and they were asking me, he was just asking me about the fight. But in the fight, the kid got on me back a couple of times, but he didn't do too much with it, but I was hitting him with every weapon under the sun, and I don't know, I don't really plan these things out. It just sort of rolls off the tongue and I give it an L. Bing! So selecting my weapon and just pinging him with it. It was good.
And then you get the GTA selector.
Yeah, because that's how it goes. It was like a GTA selector out there, just selecting my weapons and banging them with them, and then the little sound, like,
I have no idea what
this is. I'll show you the interview after this. It's funny.
Oh, crazy. You have to show me.
Yeah.
It's your second professional fight?
Second professional fight,
It's a tough opponent.
Yeah. It looks fairly well-rounded, but in my head, there's nobody who's going to beat me out there. And, I'm going to go out and fucking butcher anybody I can. Like, this is what I've been doing since I'm a kid. I'm here to finish fights. I'm not going out here and trying to win by decision. In my mind, it's a decision's not really a good win. In my eyes, it shouldn't be left to the judges. So I'm looking to come out here and finish this kid.
What do you love about fighting so much?
I don't know. I always no matter what I do, if I take an interest in it, whether it's a game, whether it's playing chess, whether it's doing gymnastics, whether it was playing football, I just want to be the best at it. And with fighting, when I was a kid, I loved the way Mike Tyson spoke about it, and he was like, where I got is I know I'm gonna be one of the most skillful fighters in the world because I put the work in and I go and show that. But I also want to go out and show everybody I'm one of the most vicious people to ever do this. I want people to speak about me, like the types of like Mike Tyson's, Roberto Duran's. I'm out here to scare people. I'm out here to put people away, and that's it. I'm here to leave behind the legacy. There's gonna be 50 world champions after me. I'm not worried about being, to me, millions of euros and all that. Yeah, that's great, but in my head, that's inevitable. That's going to happen for me anyway. I want to, but what I want when I'm dead and gone, I want people to say, when they look back at like John Jones's, Mike Tyson's, all these types of people, when my name to be in that conversation and for people to say he was the most skillfully and dangerous people to do this, and for them to speak about my skill level for years to come. And then also for my little brother to have something to aspire to, know what I mean? I want my little brother out here killing kids, know what I mean?
He is already killing
kids.
Yeah,
but that's it, and it will continue.
How much did you fight with him when you were younger? Or still fighting?
Still fighting. Like, there's a big gap between us, 10 years, so.
Crazy.
Like, giving him little bashings here and there, but, like.
You show him who is the bigger brother.
Yeah, that's it. Showing him who the big dog is. But yeah, we'll see. When he gets a little bit bigger, hopefully he becomes my training partner and makes that go a bit closer. Like, so that's what I look forward to when he gets a bit bigger.
You're not really fighting for medals or trophies. You're just fighting for legacy.
Legacy, that's, medals and trophies will come. Know what I mean? If medals and trophies are all you're in this, there's easier sports to do.
Yeah.
Go do swimming. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to be I'm here to be competitive. I want to, and not just competitive in a trophy manner. I want to be in the conversation of the most dangerous in the world. Know what I mean?
Mm. Don't you have a plan B? I mean, everything can happen in fighting. Aren't you scared if your plan doesn't work out?
No, my plan's working out. There's no doubt. There's like, I don't think to these things. I just know them, and that's just the way it is. I'm like, I've been coaching as well since I'm 15, so if it doesn't work out, I know, like Andreas will probably tell you, like, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to fighting. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure I can be, like, I can get to, like, a coaching level, like, going. That's, like, after I'm done fighting and stuff like that, hopefully my little brother's still fighting at the time, and I'll probably move on to being his coach when I'm done removing heads and stuff, so. Yeah, I'd probably like to open my own gym at some stage in my life, but there's no point in making a plan B.
Yeah.
If you're making a plan B, you're picking a way out in my eyes. If there's no plan B, plan A has to work.
It has to, yeah. I love the video of your father training here, because most of the children, they are always embarrassed about their parents.
Yeah.
But you were like, oh my God, watch this. This is my father.
Yeah, like.
And it's my dad.
And it was like just a proud moment, because it's like me and my dad, like for a, like me and my dad are like from what a father and son, know what I mean? There's no bond like me and my dad, know what I mean? But like even for a little while, like, sometimes it can be the people who are closest to you are the people you argue with the most at times.
Yeah.
And I think just when he done the Wimp the Warrior or the Alta program himself, it was, it made him understand my life a little bit more, and like the commitment I put in and how hard the training actually is. Because there'd be days
shoulder injury.
Like, you come up, yeah, I had a torn my labrum and things like this. And he's like, why aren't you up training? Or, like, and I'd be going to physios, or like I'd be showing up to the gym to watch and I wouldn't be training, and he'd be like, what did you do tonight? And I was like, oh, I just watched, like, me neck and shoulder is still injured. And he'd be like, well, why aren't you training? But
that's awesome. Like,
he understands it a lot more now, because he's done that and he's felt somebody, like, he didn't get injured, but like, when you haven't done MMA or never wrestled before and you're only going into it at 45 years of age, you're gonna, like, you're stiff, you're not nimble the way we would be. So I think he got a taste for like how injuries and stuff were and how taxing on the body it was. Like, if you look beside you there, like, didn't even notice, like, that's my training schedule. Like, I train 4 times a day every day.
How much?
4 times a day every day. Like,
what's that? Show me. Four times. You're kidding me.
Day.
4 times.
Yeah, 4 times every day. So like strength and conditioning, and then 3 MMA sessions.
Wow, that's
so
a lot.
So it'll be either MMA grappling or MMA striking, or like I'll be doing like personal training with Owen himself, and we'll be working 5 specific scenarios, or rounds based around them 5 specific scenarios, and breaking down situations, and yeah, just this is the life, like. So if I was working in a job, I'd be doing 8-hour days, 12-hour days. Like, I was an apprentice electrician for 4 years as well.
Apprentice, what's that?
Electrician, like the
lights. Electrician.
Yeah,
okay,
so
okay.
I done that for 4 years when I first came out of school. So I know what it's like to work on building sites and trying to train at the same time. And that was taxing on the body. And now I don't work. I stopped working after I won the IMAF gold medal in 2018. And just really made this my life. So if I can walk for 8 hours a day and still come home and get 3 hours training in, I can get 5 hours training in on and without having to walk, easy.
Yeah, but how can you pay for your rent and everything?
Well, I just coach in the gym and PTs, and yeah, that's really it. Coach and train.
I saw some videos. Do you learn a lot by training other people, right?
Yeah, like, and I started doing a small bit, like, mostly it was jiu-jitsu at first. I think I got my blue belt at 15 under own Roddy and John Kavanagh. So, like, I was fairly decent on the ground. So I'd start coaching and helping out with the teens classes when I was younger. And then I just went on from, like, that. And, like, I know my mindset for, like, the likes of striking and jiu-jitsu is not like anybody else's. Like if there's one thing I will say about myself, I'm a really good chess player. And I think about fighting.
So real chess or MMA chess?
MMA chess, MMA exactly. So when I'm thinking about fighting and I'm breaking down these techniques, I'm doing the same thing as I do if I was playing a game of chess. Like, I have 10 answers for all 32 pieces on the board. Know what I mean? There's wherever the fight goes, whether it's striking, wrestling, wherever it is, like, without a doubt, I'm going to have 10 answers for it.
Yeah, I saw you have a chess actually here in the gym. You're playing?
Yeah, I play the kids' classes. Teach some of the kids, play some of the kids, the teens, and then any of the lads, if we get a free 10 minutes here and there, we're having a game of chess playing around. Like,
that's cool. Hey, in 2018, you won the MMA championship.
Yeah.
You told me already, in Bahrain.
Yeah.
And how was that feeling and the whole experience being in Bahrain and everything?
Bahrain was a really unbelievable experience. First time in the Middle East, so it was nice to see that culture, but also see how friendly the people were, because you always hear these crazy stories, but nothing like what you'd heard out of these stories, people are.
I guess, like, you were in a bubble, maybe.
Yeah, but it was just really nice, but it was like even the locals were looking after the competition and walking at her, and you're speaking to them, and even the people who worked in the hotels and stuff, everybody was like overly nice and always trying, like, if you had any questions or needed helping out, it was they were all really nice people. But in terms of the competition, the experience of that was unbelievable as well, because that was actually my first IMAF competition, so it was like my first time fighting with, like, a small crowd there and more competition based, like, done competition MMA competitions when I was a kid, but, like, not on the same level, know what I mean? You're over there competing against some of the best in the world and proving you're the best in the world. I found it funny, like, some of the Irish team were like, oh, you got Kazakhstan in your draw, or you got Russia in the next fight.
And
I was like, no, they have Jerry Harris in the next fight. I'm not fighting the whole country. At the end of the day, it's me and him in that cage. And a million percent of the time, I'm leaving with the win there.
Did you ever get, like, a fight where you lost and you were like, I didn't find any answers?
Never. I lost in, first loss was in Rome in 2019. This was after I lost the gold, this is after I won the gold medal. And this was for the European Championships. And in the fight, it was a back and forward fight. And I guarantee you, if you looked at the scoring cards now, I would have won the fight. Yeah. But you're fighting an Italian in Italy. It's hard to get the split decision.
Yeah.
And like I said, if I had a one-way decision, I probably wouldn't have been happy anyway, because decision isn't the best win.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Especially if it's such a close fight. I think the only thing with that was I knew what I should have been doing, and I just didn't put put the plan into place and yeah, just was second on the day.
How old was your opponent? How old
were
you?
I think the same age as me, 20, yeah. 20 odd maybe.
Okay. Sounds good. Hey, and we talked about your brother before, yeah. But now we go into it. Your little brother, Alex.
Alex Harris, yeah.
Damn, he's a savage too.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be unbelievable. Yeah. Like, really looking forward to seeing him grow up. And like he's, like I said, he's only a little ferret at the moment. He's only a whippet, know what I mean? He's small, he's short, he's fast, but when he puts on a bit of size, he's gonna start hurting people. He's already hurting people, but when he gets to 57, 56 kilo, he's gonna start blowing people's heads off their shoulders.
And he was at the World Championship in Abu Dhabi at the age of 13.
13, yeah, it's his first time doing them now. He had a really, really good performance in the first day, in his first fight. Second fight, he got a little bit wrestled up against the cage, but like still in, like, it was only one form in a round, so if maybe if he had a little bit more time, well, that's the name of the game, isn't it? But I was really proud and impressed of his skill level and how he took her on, because as well in my house, like, even for a game of Monopoly, like, everybody wants to win. Like me mom, me little sister, me dad, him. And when he loses, he has a bad temper. But he really, when he lost over there, he really, like first fight, he was a little bit angry, but he really took her on the chin then and like got into it and like seeing like a big jump in like his maturity there, because he was able to be like, okay, I lost, but I have another fight to go. And yeah, it was just really nice to see. And like getting to go over there and coach him myself, and it was just an unreal experience. Like, and just the bond with him is just gets a little bit stronger with all these little trips we do together, and the more we train together, it's great. Like,
do you see a lot of yourself in him?
I don't see it, but everybody else says that's you. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not me, because we'll get real annoyed at him, and they'd be like, that's exactly what you do. Yeah. Be like, because I'm like, I love to mess, like, I'm always looking, like, to make it, like, I like to make everybody laugh. If people are laughing, it's, everybody's happy, you know? Like, you can make someone laugh one day and it could change the whole day, you know? So it's, like, the same. Like, I'm always trying to buzz with everybody and make sure everybody's all right. And, like, just like everybody else up here, it's, like, everybody's, like, family. So I think, but when he's like that, I'm like, will you stop doing that? Stop messing. And people are like hitting me and being like, that's what you do, be doing. So it's, yeah, it's funny. Maybe I'll say a little bit more when I'm older.
And you're right, you're always smiling, and I love that about you, because all your Insta posts are like with a big smile.
Yeah,
so,
just
so nice to see.
Yeah, if it's like, I do be laughing at people sometimes when they're like fighting, they have this big angry face on them, and they're really in the zone all the time, and it's relax, know what I mean? You're here, you're enjoying yourself, you're putting the work in with your training partners. There's no point in like going in and like, compared to me on fight day, it's, there's a switch and it goes off, and I'm like a shark in the water. There's no facial expression, just cruising and just ready to fucking put someone away, know what I mean? Cruise control and let the muscle memory kick in, and like fight mode, when that door closes, like I'm leaving that cage like dead or alive, like, and that's the way it is. But outside the cage, it's just best to be, I don't know, life's easier when you're smiling.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything that could get you really angry?
Not even
if you're hungry.
Maybe wake up, like last week, I'll be a little bit more barking me, or a bit more bite than bark.
Yeah.
To be honest, when it comes to sort of weight cuts, the end of the weight cut, like, I'll be still smiley and stuff, but I'll be a lot quieter. I just sort of like to come into myself and get me mind prepared for fight mode and, like, even, like, a little bit not trying to be short with people, but not like engaging too much in long conversations about the fight or anything. Just like to, like, I'd walk past the mirror and talk to myself and be like, oh, I'm going to butcher this kid, or like, oh, I'm the champ. Like, without running, I'm out there talking to myself, like, more just in our conversations than anything else, just, and just putting me into that fight mode and, yeah, just trying to switch on. Other than that, just try to be happy and close.
could you fight someone if the opponent is really nice?
Yeah, to be honest, I'd fight my best friend.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter, like, if it comes down to someone trying to tell me they're better than me.
Okay.
Anybody's an opponent.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, yeah, training partners, it's a different story. But if it's like now you see in the UFC, it's like Gilbert Burns and like Usman, it's like, yeah, they're training partners, but if it comes down to legacy, it's, you better believe I'm coming to take your bleeding head off.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it should be. It's, why not? Know what I mean? Totally. If he wants to be the best and I be the best, let's prove it. Do you get me? Like, I don't see, maybe not so much in the early pro ranks and like, or the amateur, like, even in the amateur scene, I don't see there should be a point because it's, they're obviously, they are training partners.
Yeah.
But like, when it comes to the highest level and it comes down to like, he was making $1 million and he was making $250,000, or he was making, yeah, better believe I'm going in there to win. Like, I'm not turning any fights down.
Yeah. I was always thinking about what your mom was saying when you two guys got into fighting that early.
My mom actually loves it.
Really?
She loves that we have something to, like, to aspire to and like to walk towards, and
it, like, keeps you off the street.
Keeps you off the street, exactly. And she, like my ma and dad are brilliant. It's like, if they had to drive 10 miles to bring us to training when we were kids, they would have.
Wow.
Like, if they had to drive across the country, they would have.
Yeah.
If that's what we wanted to do, like, my ma and dad, like, they do anything for us. Know what I mean? And they have done everything for us. So, yeah, she really loves it, especially when it comes into the competition week. It's, she gets really nervous, but like, when the fights are on, there's nobody else you can hear in the building other than my ma screaming for me. You know what I mean? And my ma goes over way tenfold for me. Like, she does all my meal preparations, and like, she walks like with the nutritionists and stuff. So if there's meals to be made, like, she's making me meals and stick, like, weighing out all my food and counting me calories, and she does above and beyond for me. My ma, she's a blessing. Like, she's a diamond.
Oh, that's so helpful if the whole family is into that.
And even down to my cousins and uncles. Like, my uncle Gate is probably like one of my biggest supporters, like, and my cousin Keith. And like, if I rang Keith on a Sunday morning at 3 a.m. and says, Keith, do you want to go out on a run with me?
Yeah.
Keith, he'd be running up a mountain with me in the middle of the night, no problem. And like, if I rang Gate and I was like, get here, like, I need to do a bit of training, will you come up to the gym? Or like, I need to go on a run, will you cycle the bike beside me? Or my dad, he'd do the same. They'd be there for me in the blink of an eye.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure your goal is UFC, of course.
UFC is the ultimate goal. Like that's where legacies are made. That's like, now come here, if it changed and there was another promotion that was bigger than the UFC, you better believe I'm going to be, like, I'm looking to be the best in the world.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? I'm looking for like people like that, Demetrius Johnson status, or like his skill level, but I want people to know me for finishing people like John Jones and Mike Tyson and Roberto Duran and all my favourite fighters. And that's the way, like, I want people to talk to me about a skill level like Demetrius Johnson. But like, I know the way I speak, people are going to be ready to watch me, like the McGregors. Like, people want to see McGregor either win or lose. And like, the way he finished people, I want to finish people like that. I want to go out and blow people's chins off their faces with left and right hands.
Do you think money might change you one day? Like, it's did with McGregor.
Like, you give anybody $100 million, that would change anybody.
Yeah.
You better believe it would. And if you think it wouldn't, you're wrong. Know what I mean? Like, that's dead certain. But hopefully when I make enough money for my kids not to have to work, I'll be done fighting by then. Know what I mean? The legacy will be created. Hopefully I'm not still chasing the dream, like.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Maybe when I'm done with MMA, I might do a few bare knuckle boxing matches just to see.
Oh,
what
really?
Yeah, I'd love to do something like that. So just to see what the story is and playing hop these meat cleavers off heads.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, look forward to it. And just to see what my career comes of. I'm ready to show the world what I'm able to do.
What's the first thing you would buy when you get a UFC check?
First thing I'd buy? Probably me and my missus a house. Something a house. Nice like that, yeah. Yeah, I'll probably buy my man and dad a house. I think I owe them one by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
For all the cooking.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Buy me man a personal chef or something. We don't know. We'll see how much we get.
Hey, what's your favourite movies? What are you watching?
Movies? I have to go with an old classic. Did you ever see Shawshank Redemption?
Redemption?
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption. Prison film.
Okay.
With Morgan Freeman.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, unbelievable film. That, the Cray Brothers, really old one. Tom Hanks made one recently, like a couple of years ago, but there's an old one. It's in black and white. It's a brilliant film. What else? The General. It's about an Irish gangster, Martin Cattle. That's a really good film. I like that.
That sounds great, actually. I have to see it.
Yeah, I'll show you the names of them after this. I have so many favourite films. Like, have you ever seen Sleepers?
No.
No, another brilliant film. I love loads of like older films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask because there's so many old films.
Yeah, like I love older films, and like that's like one of the things like me and my dad bonded over years ago. My dad really loves like movies and stuff like that. So like we were always watching films, like another one, A Bronx Tale. Have you ever seen this
Bronx
one?
Bronx Tale, no.
Bronx Tale, no. Brilliant, yeah. No, great.
Maybe
film.
If I see the cover, I don't know, maybe in Austria the names are different.
Yeah, a little bit different, maybe, yeah. No, yeah, love old films, love all the new films as well. I love all the superhero movies and stuff like that. And yeah, but like, think more of on like an action side, gangster type of movies are some of my favourites. Or like ones where you really have to sit down and think about them, or where the plot twists quite a bit.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Not just some gangster
movie,
easy cheesy. Yeah.
No good, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it has to be a nice good story to it. Especially if it's a true story and something like that you can relate to it in ways and stuff like that, yeah.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, the Peaky Blinders. Love the Peaky Blinders, yeah.
Peaky right. Fucking Blinders.
Yeah, the Peaky Fucking Blinders is right.
It sounds so much better when you say it.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else you want to say or something for your sponsors?
So many sponsors to name out. Can I actually
take
a list?
Yeah, of course.
just the main sponsors, first, Alpha Mechanical, Vincent Gerdy from Alpha Mechanical is like, he's looked after me since the start. It's Vinny's
important.
Like family now, and like he just doesn't do it for promoting his business or anything like that. He loves the sport. His son actually trains in the gym, Cameron, as well.
Oh.
He'll be another one to watch out for when he's older. He's the same, like a year or two young, he'll be at the Worlds next year, guaranteed.
Yeah.
The youth, I think it's in Abu Dhabi again, so we'll be over coaching him next year. He'll be another one to watch. Then we have, like my manager, One Hit Management, have to thank him. Next Stage Injury Therapy, he's the Adam, he's the physio in the gym.
Yeah.
Go on and look at some of his videos on YouTube. he's out there fixing people.
Every time here and fixing all your...
Yeah, fixing all the lads in the gym, but he's like one of the best deep tissue guys there is.
Oh, wow.
Physicare Dublin. As well, Darren from Physical Care Dublin's looking after me. It's that same with Adam, both of them are looking after me since I'm younger. So the two big lads, really big shout out to them. Brewforce Nutrition, that's supplement shop in Ballymun, actually where I'm from. Bob from there, he's from the local area, so he's looking after his own. Off grid space, it's recovery rooms out in Bray. If you're ever in Dublin, check it out. It's unbelievable.
What are they doing?
It's just a recovery room, so like ice baths, saunas, the recovery boots, he has the shoulders, the hips. They do yoga out there and stuff as well, and I think they do quite a few things out there. It's it really looks after you, Dino. If people are going over to Dublin and you get a chance to look at Off Grid, make sure you get out there and tell Dino Jer sent you on. He'll be happy to see us and he'll look after you. And then Fearless Media as well jumped on. He jumped on with us. He actually done the Wimp the Warrior program as well, Thomas. He's starting to be a part of the team and look after me and stuff. So should be coming up with some really good content with him soon. So keep an eye on the social media.
Something awesome.
I need to really engage on a little bit more as well, I know. But yeah, and then Allure Sports. So they do a really good high split shorts. They do all my fight kits as well. Yeah, they looking after me the last 2 or 3 years as well. And then my girlfriend, she's doing my strength and conditioning with me, Humanity Fish. She actually works out of this gym as well.
Okay.
And then my conditioning, AK Pulse, Alan Kinsler looks after me, something else. And yeah, that's all the sponsors. And if anybody else wants to jump on board, make sure, don't be shy, get in contact with me or One Hit Management on Instagram or yeah, wherever you can find us.
What sponsor would you really need? Is there a food sponsor or anything?
Yeah, anything will help. Like yeah, food supplements, like training gear, anything.
Yeah.
Anything just to make the training, like take less stress off the training, know what I mean? Like if I had more sponsors, maybe I wouldn't have to do so many PTs and coaching and stuff. I could really just focus on my training and yeah, just see.
That's amazing, because in Austria we don't even, I don't know if one of the big fighters in Austria have so many sponsors than you have.
Yeah, do you know what? It's only become a recent thing over here now. I mean, manager Paul Fogarty is like he's unbelievable. He gets out there and works really hard for us.
Yeah.
And get him like especially with like fight contracts and like with sponsors and stuff as well. But I think it's more like, it's a bigger thing for sponsors and stuff over in the UK. Like the gym we train in over in the UK have like all the lads have loads of sponsors and lots of more people, because it's MMA is not actually even a sport in Ireland. Yeah, know what I mean? It's not even seen as a sport, so it's like it's hard to get sponsors and stuff. And like,
even though McGregor was such a good Irish MMA fighter,
he's the most known. Probably one of the most known fighters in the world, and most known for a sport, like for something that's not even seen as a sport in Ireland, which is ridiculous. Like, you know.
What's the problem there actually? Because in Austria it's almost the same.
Yeah, because do you know what I think? I think it's to do with like sort of the all the old school kickboxing federations and judo federations, and they all run sort of like the like the criteria of like recognizing the sport and stuff like that. And I think maybe it's the old school coaches don't like MMA, or maybe there's not enough like foundations to it. But the Irish MMA team, like I know Liam OG from SPG Cork, and like Andy Ryan and Paddy Houlihan, all these lads who are part of the Irish team and building her up or putting in crazy work to get it, try get it off the ground and get it recognised as a sport, but still hasn't come about yet. So hopefully in the next a year or two, hopefully the sooner the better, because then like even like you could start coaching courses for MMA and you could earn a proper wage from doing it and stuff, because
some financial support.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe make it just easier for the fighters, because like all the footballers and everybody else,
they get so much money.
Yeah, they get so much money and they're well looked after with physios, like GAA in Ireland, like they're sorted out with jobs for after that, like while they're playing GAA and while they're done, then when they're looked after that, like after they're done playing GAA and stuff, all these things, and with sponsors and everything, and financially I think they're looked after a good bit as well. And like it's just, there's nothing in the MMA community, and fair enough, it's a new enough sport, but people need to start realizing that this is the biggest thing in the world. And you can see it from the UFC, like when the UFC is on or any fighting is on, like I know when my fights are on, everybody in Ireland is watching, you know. So like people need to start realizing it and start recognizing it as a sport. And like, because I think it's like even the national sport for Kazakhstan and stuff now, you know what I mean? And like the fighters are supported and able to train and compete at the Worlds, and this is why you see them like get so many gold medals at these amateur tournaments and stuff, because they're looked after, you know. So it'd be nice to see, and if Ireland's look like cops on and starts to look at it as a sport and starts to look after those fighters, you know, because we're out here doing the hard work, getting punched in the face for a living.
Yeah, because you choose it.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, and we all love it.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't choose another life.
Yeah. I know. Thank you so much, Sharon,
no
for
problem.
This interview.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
See you in Austria at the end of October.
Yeah, definitely. See me putting some kid to sleep.
Yes, you're going to butcher him, you say.
Yeah, too, right. His face is going to be left like a butcher's chop block.
I'm going to come with the camera.
Yeah.
See you later. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that.
This was podcast episode 82 with the Irish MMA fighter Cher Harris. He will be fighting at the Cage Fight Series in Graz, and I hope I will see many familiar faces on Saturday there. You will also hear all about the event in the next episode. Until then, I wish you all the best, have a great start into this new week, stay safe and unschlagbar ehrlich.